Amen. Let's go in our Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Exodus, chapter 12, and starting with verse 1. And if you will indulge me tonight, I would like to read all the way down through verse 14. Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. Somebody said amen when you get there. All right. Second book in the Bible, Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. In other words, time starts right here. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for house. Everybody had a lamb. Every man a lamb, it says. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, oh, we sing a song about that, don't we? And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for all these that are here. We ask you right now, Lord, let your hand rest upon the word of God. Somebody help me pray tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Speak to us by the word of God. Touch us by the word of God tonight. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. I chose to use this scripture because it is really the beginning of what we are about to partake of here tonight in this service. The Exodus from Egypt really remains one of the most fantastic stories of scripture. 400 years of slavery is brought to a finish by a lamb. Amen. And the blood of that lamb upon the doorposts of the houses. No one could have thought it was possible when you're talking about an unarmed people who've been beaten down physically, mentally, and spiritually. Kind of sounds like our world today that is in bondage to sin. They are beaten down physically, mentally, and spiritually. Amen. But there is a lamb tonight that will deliver us and set us free from the bondage of Satan, from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of this world. Praise God. Praise God. And you know the story. I'm sure most of you know the story of the 10 plagues that came through the hand of Moses to avenge the Hebrews of the gods of Egypt. And there were 10 plagues, the plagues of lice, the plagues of flies, the plagues of water turned to blood, sore boils upon the cattle and upon the people. The cattle were slain, hail mixed with fire. The sun was darkened, locusts came and ate up the crops, and frogs everywhere. God was avenging the Egyptians, or the Hebrews rather, of the Egyptian gods. And of course we know that the last plague was the plague of the death angel. And there would be a death angel that would come through the land at midnight. And there was only one way to be saved from the death angel, that was to pass through Egypt. Now, as fantastic as this story is, it gets even more fantastic as you go through it and you begin to look and see what God did to save them from Egypt. And this last plague was a plague that brought victory, and the victory was up to the individual family. It was up to the individual whether or not they could be delivered from this last plague, the 10th plague, which was the death angel that would come through the land. And Israel, thank God, Israel believed the man of God, Moses, which in reality was a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ. He was the deliverer that came. Somebody said amen. He was the deliverer that came to deliver the people out of Egyptian bondage. Egypt representing the world, Pharaoh representing the spirit of this world, the spirit and power of the air. Amen. He's got a lot of people sewed up in his hand tonight. And we read about it every day in the news. And we understand and we know that there is a power in this world. But I'm telling you, when you get a hold of the word of the deliverer, amen. When the word of the deliverer comes along, if you believe that word, amen, there will be deliverance, total, complete deliverance, amen. You won't have to go back to the way you live. Well, come on, somebody, you won't have to go back to the way that you live, but there is freedom in Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Praise God. Praise God. And I believe tonight that some of the Egyptians even participated in this, because the Bible says that it was a mixed multitude that came up out of Egypt. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think I am. And they had an opportunity. I thank God tonight that everybody has an opportunity. Amen. An opportunity to be saved, an opportunity to be delivered. Amen. I want you to notice that he did not save them in Egypt, but he saved them from Egypt. Praise God. He saved them from Egypt. Amen. And he told them at midnight there's going to be a death angel pass over the land. If that doesn't make goosebumps up and down your back, I don't think anything would. Amen. Just to think that a death angel would pass through the land, and those that did not participate nor obey the voice of Moses, the firstborn of that house, the firstborn of all their cattle, the firstborn of every living thing that they owned would be slain that night. Amen. And of course, we know tonight that it was through the blood of the Lamb, and we understand tonight that Jesus Christ was that Lamb. Amen. That sinless, spotless, without blemish. Amen. Well, praise God. He was the Son of God, but he was God manifest in the flesh. Well, praise God. Really gives a whole different meaning to what we're about to do here tonight, because Scripture says, I already quoted that Scripture, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and that he was the mediator between God and men. If I could just digress on that a little bit, if you'll allow me here tonight. Amen. God cannot die. Amen. God cannot take on sin because God is holy. Amen. And the sacrifice that would be required for humanity would have to be a man. Amen. The soul that sinneth shall die. And so God came down. There had to be an immaculate conception. Amen. There had to be a virgin birth, because the Lord was going to be the father of this baby. Amen. Scripture says in Matthew chapter 1, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Ghost, which is God, God is holy, God is a spirit. Amen. It's a title of God. Amen. God became a father. Amen. Amen. And the DNA that was in that son was a DNA of humanity and a DNA of divinity at the same time. Well, praise God. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Praise God. And what that tells me is that God, who was in Christ, went through the passion of Calvary. He went through the rejection. The Bible says that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and rejected of men. Oh, but friend, there was something on the inside of him that nobody but his disciples saw when they went to the Mount of Transfiguration, and that was the glory of God that was on the inside of Jesus Christ. When they slapped him in the face, God felt that slap. Praise God. When they beat his back bloody, God felt those blows upon his back. For Scripture says that God was in Christ all the way, all the way until Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished." Amen. And he gave up the ghost all the way until the Lord said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" If we really just stop and think for a little bit tonight about what happened at Calvary and who it was that died on that cross, I believe tonight that it would revolutionize our walk with God, and it would help us to understand that he who sat upon his throne humbled himself and came as a man, amen, and suffered the rejection of that which he created. Well, praise God. If we can attain to that height tonight, we're going to make it all the way. Amen. Praise God. No room for pride. Come on, somebody, help me tonight. No room for pride. No room for this world. Amen. Because he is the one that has filled us with the Holy Ghost tonight, and we have the earnest of the Spirit within us. Praise God. And so when the death angel passed through the land, it was a glorious day for the people of God. And it was so important that the Lord said, "This is the beginning of months for you. This is where time begins for you." It reminds me of what Jesus said in John 3 and 5. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Amen. I was 19 years old when I was born again, and that is where the days started in my life. 19 years were lost with the world and with self, but I'm thankful tonight that God called me to serve him. God called me to live for him. You ought to be thankful tonight that God called your name to serve Him. Well, praise God, to do His will. Amen. It was the beginning of days, and it was something that the Lord said, I want you to do forever. Emphasizing that as long as you are here on this earth, I want you to understand what has happened, and I want you to partake of what I partook of. I want you to have fellowship with me in the things that I love and the things that I have gone through for you. Amen. Too many, I don't want to get negative here tonight, but too often people think that Jesus Christ is like a big Santa Claus, and all we do is go to Him and ask Him for things. But it's a whole lot more than just asking for things. Amen. It is knowing Him, capital H-I-M. Amen. Knowing Him in the fellowship of His sufferings. We don't hear a lot about that. But if we're going to make it to heaven, there's going to be some suffering that will take place. I'm going to read a few scriptures tonight before we're finished here. But anybody that did not celebrate the Passover would not be able to be saved in the Old Testament. It was a requirement that every year, from the first Passover to the last Passover, if they did not abide in this and go and obey this and celebrate this, they could not be saved. It was an ordinance. It was a celebration, but it was something that was required of them. And we know now that this event of the Passover here was an Old Testament foreshadowing of the perfect Lamb, Jesus Christ, who'd come and save us from our sins. Praise God. And each and every Passover rolled the sins of the people forward. There was no remission. There was no forgiveness. It was just a rolling forward. Each Passover, there was a new start for the next year, because He said this is the beginning of months, and so it was a brand new year, just like what we're celebrating here tonight. Amen. That we are getting ready to start a new year. I'm thankful today that we've got a brand new year coming up, and we've got another opportunity to do something for God, and to draw closer to God and to do the will of God in our lives. Praise God. And so we understand that the Lamb represented Jesus Christ. And because of the law here, it was an example. If we look at it really close here tonight, it was an example of how the law concerning ordinances, Scripture says, it was flawed, and it could not deal with the conscience of the comer. Amen. It could not deal with it. It fell short, and Scripture said that it had faults. Amen. And that does not mean that it was incorrect, but it just was an example that if we live our lives based upon law, I've got to do this and I've got to do that, we're missing out on the true joy of serving God. Amen. The laws are no longer written on tables of stone, but Zechariah said they would be written upon the tables of the heart. Amen. It's a brand new way. It's a brand new way of living for God when you get a hold of this understanding. Praise God. I'm thankful for that tonight. And each and every Passover rolled the sins of the people forward year after year, but it could not remit their sins. The law fell short. The law had faults. Amen. And the faults of the law was that it brought guilt. It brought guilt every time the person came, and it had to be done regularly, meaning that it fell short. Amen. There had to be a sacrifice when there was sin. There had to be another lamb that was slain. And who knows how many hundreds and thousands of lambs were slain and the blood was applied. Amen. Who knows how many there was? I don't know. I guess I could find out, but it was an awful lot of lambs. And it was offered by a high priest. And the high priest was a sinner as well. And the scripture says that the high priest would offer a sacrifice for the people and for himself. Amen. But these were types and shadows. These were figures of things to come. Amen. The law was powerless to give anyone the means to overcome sin. And I believe those are the reasons, at least those are the reasons, that the law had a fault and had to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Amen. You can read about it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where the scripture says, at least in the book of Matthew, 11 times, amen, that it would be fulfilled. Amen. That the scripture might be fulfilled. In another place, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And he said, I did not come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. Praise God. It's still wrong to lie and steal and cheat. The moral laws of God still apply. Amen. But the difference is we don't want to do those things anymore. It's written on the tables of our heart. Praise God. We don't want to tell lies anymore. Praise God. We don't want to steal anymore. We don't want to do the things that are not pleasing to God. Amen. Because there's something that has been written on the tables of the heart. Amen. And he fulfilled the scripture. Passover was something that brought Israel out of Egypt. And I've got in parenthesis here, the house of bondage. Scripture calls it the house of bondage. And this house of bondage was, it lasted for 400 years. But because of the Lamb, because of this Passover of the death angel that passed over their houses, and the firstborn did not die, it ejected them from Egypt. Oh, praise God. And that very night they left Egypt. And you know the story. They got to the water. Thank God for the water. He could have taken them another route, a quicker way, an easier way. But he took them through a trail. You can look it up in Google Maps if you want to, because it's there. And it shows that they came through a mountainous area and they came to a gigantic beach front there in the Red Sea. And there was nowhere to go. They could not go back. They could not go side to side. And Pharaoh and his armies came. You know, the devil's not as smart as we give him credit for. God hardened his heart and he came after the children of Israel. Praise God. And God said to Moses, stretch out your rod over that water. And the waters parted and they went through on dry ground. What a glorious salvation. Nothing like it in scripture or in any historical accounts of any people. Praise God. And they went through on dry ground, and when God lifted the cloud, when God lifted that cloud, the enemy came down into the Red Sea and Moses stretched out his rod. But the thing that I think is so amazing, the Lord spoke through Moses and he said, the Egyptians that you have seen, you will never see them again forever. Praise God. Each and every Egyptian represents a sin. Amen. It represents a bondage of the people. Oh God, he does not want us to be in bondage tonight, but he wants us to be free. And that's why the scripture says that the children of Israel were baptized unto Moses in the sea, and they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud. Water and spirit, John chapter 3, verse 5. Except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. If we're going to be free from Egypt, we've got to be washed of Egypt. Egypt's got to be remitted off of us. Praise God. It's got to be taken away so that we'll never see it again. Well, praise God. I don't have to live in sin anymore. I can live in the freedom and the power of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm starting to feel something here tonight. Praise God. And scripture text tonight that I read gives us, I decided to read verses 1 through 14 of Genesis 12. It was a little bit of a lengthy reading for starting a message, but I wanted to do it because it gives specific directions. And it says this is the specific direction that you are to accomplish on this night. Don't do anything else other than what I tell you to do. This is your roadmap, and I won't go through and read it all, but it talks about the lamb, what kind of lamb it was, and how to kill it, and what to do with the blood, how to eat it. Amen. All of the specific directions. Amen. And I believe tonight that God has specific directions in His Word. Amen. So that we can be free from the sin of this world. It's a specific direction that God has for us. Amen. Amen. When we eat the lamb and we apply the blood upon the doorpost of our house, there will be victory. And I want to say tonight, when we allow God to apply the blood of the lamb upon the doorpost of our house, amen, then we can be set free from the house of bondage to serve God with joy and gladness, with the power of the Holy Ghost, with the victory of God in our lives. Amen. If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. Amen. There's some things that died at salvation. The old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Amen. And it started a brand new walk with them. It ejected them out of Egypt and brought them in a pathway to the promised land. It taught them how to have faith in God, even though they failed. Amen. God sent them to Mount Sinai so He could give them the law. And it was there at Mount Sinai that the fire of God came down. It was there at Mount Sinai that the law was given. It was there at Mount Sinai that 3,000 people died because they did not do the will of God. But it was a foreshadowing. Praise God, it's not that way anymore. Amen. And today the Jews celebrate the day that the law was given, and it was and is the day of Pentecost. Well, praise the Lord. I could look at it here tonight. Maybe we'll just go ahead. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 shows us that the Lord had a plan for us from the very beginning. Let me read it tonight. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you can read on down, and they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, what shall we do? But that very same day, verse 41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Amen. When the law was given, 3,000 perished. But when the Spirit was given, 3,000 were saved and added to the New Testament church. Praise God. And I want you to know that plan is still valid today. Amen. That plan is still valid. It is the fulfillment of the Old Testament Passover. Amen. And it's a brand new day to start over again. Amen. Jesus gave us the seriousness of the matter. I want to look at this, and I'm going to finish here in just a very little bit. John chapter 6, verse 51. Turn there with me tonight. John chapter 6, verse 51. This is Jesus speaking. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. What a statement that was. You can just imagine the confusion in their minds. And he goes on and says, Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Praise God. You see, living for God is not just a casual situation, but it takes some very serious decisions upon us and through us in our mind and in our lives, a decision that I'm going to go all the way with the Lord. I'm not backing up one inch. Amen. Whatever you want me to do, God, I'm willing to do that. We're living in a generation. Amen. A generation. Somebody help me here tonight. A generation that is given over to pleasure. Amen. Sensual pleasure, entertainment, and all sorts of things. Amen. We're living in a generation today that does not want to hurt. A generation that is very feely. Amen. A generation that just wants to feel good and is not interested in any kind of difficulty or trouble. Amen. It was the same in the day of Jesus Christ, for they understood what he was saying. They understood that what he was saying was, if you want to be saved, if you want to have the victory of life, you're going to have to get real serious about this. Young person, you can get very serious about this. And if you'll get real serious about it, it'll bless you for the rest of your life. But there were many, and I think it's interesting. John chapter 6, turn with me tonight. John chapter 6 and verse 66. Amen. I noticed that when I got the scripture 666. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, there was a time when they turned their back on Jesus Christ, when they said, we can't go this far, we can't follow his word this much. And they walk no more with him. Well, praise God. We've got to be partakers of him, church. Philippians 3 and verse 10, the greatest apostle that walked in shoe leather, wrote most of the New Testament. He said that I may know him. Everybody said, know him. If you're going to know him, then you can know the power of his resurrection. Praise God, you can't know him without the Holy Ghost. You can't know him just because you go to church. You can't know him just because you read your Bible every now and then. No, but when we know him, we will know him in the power of his resurrection. And, everybody said, and. See, it goes a little bit further here. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Praise God. If we are going to be what he wants us to be, amen. It's not going to be popular. It is not popular or convenient. But I'm here to tell you tonight that it is necessary that we find him and we model our lives after him. Amen. As I've already said, he was rejected. He was a man of sorrows. He was done wrong. He did no wrong, and he was crucified for it. He was pure. He was holy. He was without blemish. He was the spotless lamb who did no wrong, who was killed, and his blood was shed. Peter talks about this, the Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. Turn with me tonight. I want you to see this scripture. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye are buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. I believe that's the way it is because that's the way God is. For even hereunto were you called. This is our calling tonight. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Amen. I know I've lost everybody now, but I'm telling you tonight, my friend, we've got to follow the scripture and the word of God and the pathway to heaven. John saw it in Revelation. It was a great throng of people clothed in white. And the angel said, who are these people? And he said, thou knowest. And he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and loved not their lives unto the death. Praise God. That's what it really means to live for God. Amen. It's not all about smoke on the altar. Amen. Praise God. It's not all about lights and crystal balls in the church. Amen. It's not about getting the flesh excited, but it's about committing your life to God. And when you commit your life to God, the resurrection power of God will come, and you can face difficulty and still have joy. You can face troubles, amen, but if your life is committed into his hand, praise God, then you'll really understand what he was talking about. And really, this is what communion is all about. It's symbolic, but it is very personal. Some believe that there is a transmutation, that when you eat the bread, that it becomes the literal body of Jesus Christ. I don't believe that tonight. That when we take the cup and we drink of the grape juice, that it becomes the literal blood of Jesus Christ. I don't believe that tonight. He was shed once and for all. Amen. Once and for all. But it is symbolic. But it is very personal as well. Amen. It's another time to partake of his body that was beaten and his blood that was shed. Amen. Paul spoke of it. And I'm going to finish with this here tonight. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Praise God. Hope this will clarify it for some of you new ones here. Amen. Some of you have never had communion before. But I want you to know tonight it's a very powerful thing. when we recommit and dedicate ourselves to God. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, here's what he said, take, eat, this is my body, or this is a representation of my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. See, when we remember what he did, it reminds us of how much we need him. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. It was not literally his blood, but it was a representation of his blood. This do ye as oft you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. We look back to what he did, and what he did was at Calvary. We look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, or to the rapture of the church, when we're going to be with him for all of eternity. We look back to the first Passover, and to the coming of the Lord when we're going to enter into the promised land. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Romans chapter 6. I finish with this here tonight. We all know what the gospel is, right? We know what the gospel is. The gospel is not the good news, although it is good news. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God he died, because I didn't have to die. Thank God he was buried and rose again. Amen. Thank God for the gospel tonight. But it's more than just knowing what the gospel is. It's obedience to the gospel. And here we have it tonight, verse 6, Romans 6 and 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, everybody said with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's repentance right there. That's where we die out to our old man so that we can live unto God. Praise the Lord, like in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, the very first place the priest had to come was to the altar of sacrifice. And the very next place that he had to come was the brazen laver of water. And Scripture says that Jesus was buried, verse 3 of Romans 6, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Amen. So we die with him, we are buried with him by baptism, and then once we have died and been buried, there is the possibility of a resurrection. Amen. Can't have a resurrection till there's a death and a burial. We die in repentance. The old man is buried in baptism. And then he says that we, let's see here. Even so, that like as Christ, verse 4, I'm sorry, was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in a newness of life. Praise God. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And it's all brought out in the book of Acts chapter 2, and I finish with this here tonight. Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he preached about sin. We don't hear a lot about that in our generation today, but he was talking about sin. He told them they have crucified the Lord, verse 36. Verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." There's the remitting of Egypt off of us. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Can we stand together tonight? Praise God. "As many as the Lord our God shall call." We're here tonight, whether you realize it or not. You and I are here tonight because God has called us to live for him. There is a holy and a high calling, Scripture talks about. Amen. And that calling of God is a sacrifice of self. That calling of God is to be done wrong and not to fight back. Amen. There are many persecutions today in our world. In fact, the number one persecuted religion in the world today, I read it just the other day, is Christianity. We're seeing such hatred and all of that. Jesus said, "You will be hated for my name's sake of all nations." There may come a time when some of us will have to shed our blood for what we believe. There may come a time, and there will come a time, when Peter said, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you." I'm not being negative here tonight in any way, but I'm telling you tonight that if we're going to live for God, we must dedicate and commit our whole life to him. Our whole life to him. Praise God. I want to have an open heart that if the Lord were to say something to me, I would listen to what he had to say. I remember one time, and I've told this story a few times, but I remember there was a time when I was pastoring on the East Coast. We lived in Boston for a little while, and then we pastored in New Bedford, Massachusetts. And while I was there, some situations came up, and somebody was doing me wrong big time. And it really hurt. It really hurt. And the more I thought about it, the more upset I got. I know you all are angels here tonight. You're looking at me like you've never had that happen, but that's okay. You're gonna find yourself in that situation. And it hurt. And every time I thought about it, the more bitter I got. And the more bitter that I got, the less I prayed. And the less I prayed, the less I read my Bible. And it began to affect my ministry, began to affect how I was thinking about things. And so it was one individual, not someone in our church, but another individual. And I finally got tired of being in bondage to those things. And I went to the Lord in prayer and I said, "God, why when I see this person do I feel bad? Lord, why when I think of this person my stomach just gets rolling?" Have you ever been there? If you haven't, you will be there. And I was listening closely. And it wasn't an audible voice, but it might as well have been. And the Lord said, "Son, the reason you feel this way is because you have pride in your heart." You talk about knocking your head off. Here I was pastoring a church, a revival church. People were receiving the Holy Ghost. Many, many were coming to God, and here I was struggling in my own walk with God. But I want you to know tonight, I'm not a saint. I'm not trying to make it out like I am. But when the Lord spoke that to my heart, something inside of me broke, and I began to weep like a baby, and I began to repent, and I began to ask God, God, forgive me of pride. I don't want to be lost. I want to be saved. And I want you to know that at that prayer meeting, God delivered me of those feelings. God delivered me of that pride. Oh, I've had to deal with it since then, but I know how to deal with it now, and I can recognize it when it crops its ugly head. Amen. And it wasn't long ago that Fred and I went to the East Coast. My pastor had died, and we went back. It was in Massachusetts, not New Bedford, Fall River, Massachusetts. And the man that had done all of these things to me was there. And I walked up to him with a big smile on my face, and I said, hello, brother, good to see you. And I had no feelings in my heart against him. And we started talking, and I was talking about some of the experiences that I had had there, and he said, yeah, some of them weren't that good, were they? And I knew what he was saying. And my response to him was, no, it was all good. I've got good memories. I don't have bad memories. Praise the Lord. If we're going to get to heaven, friend, we're not going to have the opportunity to have a grudge against somebody else. If we're going to walk on streets of gold, amen, we've got to be like him. And when we're hanging on our personal cross, we can say from the depths of our heart, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Come on, church, let's pray right now. And let's ask for the Lord to help us, each and every one. We need God more than anything. We need to be conformed unto him, to be like him. Help us tonight, Jesus. Touch us tonight, Jesus. God, we lean on you more than anything in all of this world. We need your salvation. We need your cleansing. We need your washing in our lives. Help us tonight. Touch us tonight, each and every one, from the pastor to each and every young person and child that's here. God, we need you more than anything. Lift us up into your presence right now. Let the Holy Ghost begin to move in this place tonight as we approach this holy, holy time of recommitting our lives to you. In Jesus' name. Somebody said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.